Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. We have restored the roar.
Yeah, we have.
And we are rolling.
Man, one of the hottest teams in football, Corey. How about those Lions?
They are in Inferno. Vegas knew what they were talking about.
Yeah,
Vegas
did.
Made them a favorite.
Yeah, they did.
And they just put the hammer down.
They absolutely did. What a win by the mighty Detroit Lions.
Big
yesterday.
Dub. Big dub.
Big dub for the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday as well, Corey. What did you make of that one? How much of a kick in the pants was that one for Titans fans yesterday?
Well, I don't know about you guys. I think I texted something along those lines to Joe that I thought something ugly was coming. And so it wasn't a huge surprise with the injury situation that they've got and with the week that they had. And I think when you add up distraction and shorthanded, it can equal bad things. Now, as Coach Vrabel said in the soundbite that just aired, there are just a couple plays you can turn over and make this a completely different football game. I think what got me most, though, was when things went bad, how they unraveled, because we're not used to seeing this team unravel like that, and they really unraveled yesterday.
Yeah, totally agree. We've been talking about that, and that was jarring. It was you're just not used to seeing it. You know, great play by the Jags. Bad luck for the Titans. You know, Henry loses that ball. To me, that was the play that flipped it, and you're talking. Boom, 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 three straight touchdown drives. Just absolutely not hot knife through butter, knife through hot butter for the Jags. I said the other way around earlier, Corey. But why?
Yeah.
Why did the Titans, why do you think they crumbled like that when we're not used to seeing that?
Well, I just think, there's a saying that stuff rolls downhill, okay? Except stuff isn't the word that they use. And when things are bad at the top, they're usually bad at the bottom. And they had a bad week at the top. And it rolled down to the bottom. And, you can say all you want that they prepared well, that they were focused. You guys know that when you handle adversity, sometimes it just takes something small to make you snap. And so suddenly your daughter won't brush her teeth in the morning to get ready for school, and you're losing it over that. But that's not really what you're losing it over, right? You're losing it over everything else that happened. So I could be dead wrong about that. But I just think that the week that led to it led to them unraveling in that situation. That's my estimate. Now, defensively, before they unraveled, there was already stuff. I mean, Evan Engram was already an issue, which is hard to say and hard to swallow, but it was. I mean, they had guys defensively who I thought played some of the worst games I've ever seen them play.
Well, to that point, Corey, defensively, it's 2 weeks in a row where they've just gotten absolutely shelled out there. Is it more the injuries? Is it more bad play? Maybe a combination of the two? What are you seeing right now on defense?
How many starters they have out there?
Not very many.
Five. They had five. How many of them? I know everybody's hurt this year, but, I mean, one of them is significantly dinged and still out there trying to get it done.
So yep.
You've got maybe four healthy starters, and when you've got guys – who are rolling in off the street, haven't played a ton together. Maybe the trust isn't there. Because that's the thing is, like, when some of the starters see some of the guys out there and maybe don't trust them as much, they start trying to do other things, get you out of position. Maybe you're looking somewhere else. And I'm not saying that's what happened, but, these are the types of things that happen. I would say, like, Michael Griffin was a Pro Bowl player when he had good players in front of him. When he didn't, people were all upset he's getting torched all over the field. Those things kind of go hand in hand. So the injuries, you know, unfortunately, you know, you said that's an excuse. They got it done before with injuries. Well, it's reality. I mean, you had a front four that you thought was among the elite in the league. Two of them aren't playing. Another one's playing at 70%. And another one played pretty well yesterday. But, you know, having about 40% of 100% is still 40%.
So, Corey, the thing about yesterday is you win that game and you have you basically have four games where you're going to try to win and you want to try to play well. And, you know, you're going to play your key players who are healthy enough to play. But also you have absolutely no reason to overstress anyone, overstrain anyone. You can take Jeff Simmons and say, you know what, here, sit out a week or two.
Yeah.
You can wait as long as you want for Autry to come back, all these things. And now you don't have that luxury anymore. I mean, we don't know where this is going to go. I still think they're going to end up winning the division. But how much of a difference do you think that is? And I guess what do you think ultimately is the impact when you get to January in a playoff game of one path or the other?
Well, you know, you want to be healthy when you get there, and that's one of the things Mike Vrabel always stresses. And the best path to being healthy when you get there is being able to let those guys rest. So I think that's obviously one of the issues. The other issue is you're struggling right now. You've lost three in a row. You've got problems on defense. You've got problems on offense. And now you just got shellacked by the Duval County Pussycats. And so you're looking in the mirror going, are we good enough? You know, who are we? What are we? And maybe that's what they need, but, you know, it's not a great time, you know, with four games left trying to lock up a playoff berth, having an identity crisis. And so I think, you know, that's the emotional mental issue is a whole other challenge. And that's where we're going to really see, you know, Mike Vrabel and this staff challenged. I tweeted it out yesterday. I know some of the players said it. Mike Vrabel said it to me years ago. Your culture is what you are when things are at their very worst. We're going to find out a lot about the coaching staff and the football team and how they respond these last 4 weeks.
Corey Curtis from News 2 with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Corey, with that in mind, the game against the Eagles, the firing of John Robinson, Amy Adams-Strunk finally speaking on Friday to Teresa Walker, and now this game. What do you make of this last week for the Titans in terms of where you think this is all headed with this group?
Well, look, I think Amy Adams-Strunk has done a fantastic job over the last 8 years. I mean, I think we've all been here for all of them, and we know what that organization looked like when she got there, and it was a mess. I mean, it looked like a garage store organization. They weren't a serious NFL franchise, and she's turned them into a serious NFL franchise and done, like I said, an amazing job. I thought last week was the worst week she's ever had as owner. And I say that as respectfully as I can. Is it Ricky Bobby? I said it with all due respect.
That's right.
No, I mean, look, you know, she didn't want to sit on John Robinson because she knew what she was going to do and wanted to move forward. There's a reason people wait. There's a reason people wait. And it's because you don't want to cause a distraction for your football team. And then you've got the land purchase in Williamson County, and you've got what I call a failure in leadership to not step up and front the news that John has been fired. I think when you make a move that is that big and that jarring, you have to be the stabilizing force to say, this is why I did it. I'm here. I'm here to answer all questions about it. You know, this is what we're doing and we're moving forward. And when you put out, I mean, you can't invade Mexico and put out a press release. Okay. That's not going to quite work. And so, you know, I think that those were failures at the top in the last week for an organization that's been really well run. And so does that mean I'm willing to give her a pass? No, but it does mean I expect better moving forward.
Well, I 100% agree with you. Massive failures. I'm going to take it another step. Do you think differently about Amy Adams-Strunk as controlling owner based on the last week?
No, because I think we've all had a bad week. We've all made mistakes. You know, we've all done things that we look back on in our life and go, yeah, probably I didn't think about this that much, and I probably should have thought about it in a different way. And you know, the longer she's there, you know, the more she's calling the shots and doesn't have the people that she used to have around her as kind of counsel. And, you know, I think, you know, when you look at that situation, some of those things are going to happen occasionally. We'll see if she learns from it or not. I think she's a smart lady, so I think she will. So, like I said, I'm not going to condemn her and give up on her in one bad week. We'll see how she does moving forward.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us this morning. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, but first, you guys didn't ask me about firing Todd Downing.
Are they going to do that?
No. Okay.
there was a chant yesterday.
I know, but the last thing this team needs to do is shake things up more. They need to bring it in more. They need stability, okay? And look, we can all draw plays that we think, I mean, look at plays in that game that we thought were, this wasn't a great call. They should have had 28 points at halftime. They should have had 28 points. He doesn't draw up for Derek to drop the ball. He doesn't draw up for Dennis Daly to miss and cause a sack fumble. You know,
I'm with you. We got to get rid of the direct snap stuff. We got to get rid of it.
That's fine. That's fine. But they should have had 28 points on the board at halftime, and everybody would be like, God, Todd had a great game. He fixed the running game. You know, but when players fail, it reflects on the coaches. Okay, and that's part of the job. That's Coach Vrabel would say that's coaching. But he didn't draw up three turnovers yesterday. That's all I'm going to say. They should have had 28 points at halftime and should have been rolling.
Corey, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Go, Joe. Way to go on your non-Lions that you don't root for anymore.
That's right.
Roar.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and Jags, 615-737-1025. Now's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you have to do is sign up with promo code ROB. They've got great live betting options every single day, and when you win, you'll get your winnings paid to you quickly as well. Just a couple things in the NFL that I'd be looking at probably on a weekly basis for the rest of the regular season. Justin Jefferson over on receiving yards, and I would go Devontae Adams as an anytime touchdown scorer. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just do it on FanDuel, all in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Sign up today with promo code ROB for your no-sweat first bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick the Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick the Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they're referred to so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. 1025, 1063, the game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning. Thanks to Corey Curtis for joining us in the last segment. We'll be joined by Max Herz coming up at 9 o'clock. And speaking of the Preds, we'll get into not only their loss to the Senators over the weekend, but a very interesting move that was made yesterday by the Nashville Predators regarding a former first-round pick. All that coming up a little bit later in the hour here today. Joe, the Jags beat the Titans yesterday 36-22. A dominant performance, especially in the second half, as the Jags really got rolling offensively there. And the Titans have lost three in a row. They're down to 7-6 on the season. And they kind of feel like a team that's reeling right now in the AFC playoff race. What were your thoughts, your takeaways from that game yesterday as the Titans fall to the Jags at home for the first time in the last eight games that they've played the Jags at Nissan Stadium?
Yeah, well, they did start out well, and that's the thing. It should be mentioned in all this discussion about distractions and everything, because it's not like they just came out and went, wah, wah. You know, they played well. They had the game under control. They were moving the ball. I thought offensively early, it was about as well as you would expect them to play, especially with no Treylon Burks on the field. You know, Ryan Tannehill's moving the ball around. Derrick Henry, 96 yards in the first quarter. So there's a lot of good things happening. You get your first turnover that gives them a touchdown because your left tackle's bad. So that's reality. But your next one is just a miscommunication that you cannot have at this point in the season. And you're, again, moving the ball at will, and you get the Tannehill pick with Westbrook-Ikhine not, you know, preparing for the pass to come his way in a hot read. And then you have the Henry mistake. And that play changed the game. You know, Derrick Henry, Vrabel was asked about Derrick Henry and the fumbles because he had one. Was it the Bengals game that Burks recovered in the end zone?
Correct.
Yeah, it's a Bengals game. You're just not used to seeing Derrick Henry cough up. I think has he fumbled three times this year?
I think so, yeah.
You know, so he was asked about that. He's like, well, I'll give him the ball a million times next game or whatever he said. You know, of course. As much as possible. But that play, like it or not, I mean, that play changed the game. The thing, again, that just struck me as something you're not used to seeing is that the Titans seem to not handle it well. And they usually are a tough team. Tough, not just physically, but tough mentally. And they didn't handle it well. I'm going to go to a quote. This quote did not make the my column on the Titans, but it was a Jeff Simmons quote. He was talking about body language, which I thought was interesting. You know, he was talking about basically like, well, first of all, here's a Jeff Simmons quote. We got to find a way. At the end of the day, we have to stick together. We have to come into my big words, accountability. Everyone has to hold each other accountable, no matter if you've been on this team 10 years or it's your first year on the team. That's the biggest word this week, accountability. Everyone has to do their job. Players have to hold each other accountable. Coaches coach, we play. But he also had a comment about just body language. Guys kind of like head hanging and things like that, you know, that he noticed in the game. And that's how they played. They played like a team that, like, some things went bad and they went, oh, blame whoever you want for that. It happened and we're not used to seeing it. And they are reeling. And they're reeling in part just because their health situation's bad. But at this point, how can you expect anything different too? Like, their health situation is bad. It's two straight years of everyone getting hurt and a lot of people getting hurt over and over again. So if they're healthy, when they're healthy, if this guy comes back, if that comes back, we always have those discussions. But at some point, you have to just also accept, like, they're just not going to be all that healthy because they can't get there.
Well, and to that point, you can go ahead and add Dontrell Hilliard to that list yesterday with the injury that he sustained. And I know he's the backup running back, but he's been a pretty important part of the offense so far this year. So you got another one on the offensive side of the ball that you've lost yesterday. We'll see what his status looks like as it moves forward here. And then on the defensive side, no Christian Fulton yesterday. Obviously no Trey Avery yesterday. Danico Autry's been out. David Long Jr.'s out. I mean, you're going through it on the defensive side of the ball, both with the results the last 2 weeks and with the injuries as well. But, yeah, I mean, the story of the game yesterday is the turnovers. Like, they came out on the first drive of the game. The Titans marched right down the field, five passes, five rushes, 10-play touchdown drive. And they looked really good on that drive. You come back, you force a three and out, you're off and running in the game, and then all of a sudden you turn the ball over because Dennis Daly can't block someone, and Tannehill fumbles the ball. It's a touchdown for the Jags off the turnover, and that kept them in the game. You turn the ball over. Every time you turn the ball over yesterday in the first half, they got points off of it. And when you do that, you give a team some life, they stay in the game, and in the second half, Trevor Lawrence was playing at a really high level, and they just absolutely punked the Titans on the offensive side of the ball. So, I mean, it was a game where at one point the score was 36-14, and it just felt like a total beatdown by Jacksonville in the second half. And look, I thought heading into the game there was a chance that Jacksonville could win. And we talked about this on Friday in Pigskin Pick'em. Like, with the Titans injury situation, I knew the Titans were not capable of blowing a team out, but I did not expect them to just get totally dominated like they did in the second half. And it kind of felt like, again, I don't want to use the word quit, but it did kind of felt like they laid down a little bit after the Jags put it to them early in that second half.
Yeah, they fought. You know, they got a stop. They got a TD. They got that terrific catch by Chig. And Vrabel talked about that yesterday. I mean, they kept playing. Yeah, quit way too. Yeah, and I don't. I mean, lay down. I don't even know if I'd go there. I'd go. I don't know what the verb is, but they kind of crumbled. They kind of crumbled. Not backing away, but just, again, just being sort of like down, and the whole crowd's down, and it was a bad scene. It was the worst scene there, just in terms of booing, empty seats, crowd leaving early, negativity. Again, I didn't hear the Fire Downing chant, but I did hear, to Adam's point earlier in his call, definitely here and there just like loud profane screaming, sometimes people at each other in the crowd. Yeah. People are mad.
Yeah.
And I get it. They should be. And we'll see where things go the rest of this year, but I think that also was a little bit of a glimpse at there's a team on the rise with a young quarterback who could be really good and some good pieces in place, some good pieces on the roster in place, and I think a good coach who has won a Super Bowl. And where are things going? You know, this is not a year that they should even be close to you in terms of winning the division, but they might get there at the end. And moving forward, their picture looks a lot better than yours.
Well, and you could tell it was a game that meant a lot to Jacksonville yesterday. I mean, they showed a shot of, as that game's winding down, like Trevor Lawrence is coming off of a timeout, walking back on the field, and he's like waving goodbye to the crowd. And you could tell Jags was fired up for that one. Apparently Doug Peterson played some, you know, mashup of Titans players in the past, talking about ownership of the Jags and all this other stuff. It was a spirited performance by the Jags yesterday.
Hey, that's kind of like a Vrabel kind of thing too, right?
Yeah.
You know, find all the slights, find, you know, the way to get you a little bit more fired up. Yeah, that's, and the Titans have talked about that, and they've had reason to talk about that. You know, but at some point it gets used against you. And again, it's like even with that, the Jags were getting beat. You know, they were losing. They were not coming up with answers for the Titans offense of all things after giving up 40 to the Lions of all people, and then start turning it over. Look what happens.
615-737-1025. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on the Jags beatdown of the Titans yesterday at Nissan Stadium. 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. Are you still looking for some Christmas gifts? Check out Nashville's best deals and get half off of gift cards to Joyland, Old School Pizza, Seafood Sensations, River Queen Voyages, and more. Check out thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Evan, how big is it to beat these guys here?
Yeah, you know, it was had a nice little history lesson this week on the history between these two teams. And, you know, where we are in our season and what we kind of have to do this last stretch of games, this one was big. And we kind of got a glimpse of that last night as some motivation. And we came out, we were ready. We had a great week of practice. We had fun at practice. And we just trusted our process. And we put our process to the test today. Defense, offense, special teams had a big one called back, which was unfortunate. But, you know, we all answered the bell today. It was fun.
Did you get a hit? Did Doug show you, stats, or what was
that? Yeah, it was a little video.
Okay.
Little video. Some stuff that has happened over the years, the matchups, some interviews. It was cool, but it was it was cool to flip that switch today, and it's something like we'll see them again, and they're a good team. We played really well today, so we're gonna have to continue to work, continue to prepare. We got Cowboys next week, and then we'll see them again at the end of the year too.
That was Evan Engram yesterday after the Jags beat the Titans 36-22. Evan Engram, 11 catches, 162 yards, 2 touchdowns for Jacksonville yesterday. Titans, no answer for Evan Engram yesterday. Now, look, Evan Engram's got a lot of ability, a lot of talent out there, so it's not like he's some scrub out there torching the Titans. They did have an interesting strategy of just like not covering him a couple of times out there. Nobody within 10 yards of him.
Yeah, and there were a couple plays where there was someone within a couple yards of him, but he got it.
Yep,
on the run and outran them and turned it into a big yak. So the tight ends, still hurting the Titans defense. But the difference is the Titans, for a lot of this year, have been able to affect quarterbacks and, you know, get some sacks, get some pressures, get some hits, force some turnovers. That has all dried up of late.
Andrew on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, all the poor Titans and their bad luck with injuries, enough. 2 years of boo-hooing with this excuse. The 49ers lost both quarterbacks and go out and beat down the Bucks while the Titans sit around making excuses about being hurt. Don't build a total cheeks roster, and a few injuries won't totally crush your team. This is from Andrew on the text line.
Okay. I mean, again, it's like
I don't know that the Titans are making excuses. Just kind of
yeah,
is what it is.
Right. I think for the most part they downplay it. I guess, you know, on a weekly basis, we sit here and we're, you know, oh, the injury report, oh, 27 names on it. I mean, we could just ignore that as a factor, but look, I'll say this. Amy Adams Strunk just fired the GM, who's done very well overall. You know, the strength and conditioning and all that questions, which I don't know why it would be that, but at some point, I mean, you have to look at everything that's going on. I mean, I've talked about this. I guess you could blame Robinson on this too. You can blame at this point, someone gets fired, just blame them for everything. A.J. Brown gets traded. Hey, he was hurt. He was a locker room cancer. But it's always easier to blame the person who just got sent packing. I'm sure there is some blame to John Robinson on the injury front. Certainly we know with some high-profile players who have injuries. But it's weird, I think, that this many guys have this many recurring injuries. So if I was Amy Adams Strunk, I would be inquiring on that and trying to figure out what is going on exactly.
Steve,
I don't know that there's going to be a satisfactory answer, but it is weird.
Steve from Brentwood on the text line. Can they just cut Dennis Daly, send the message that we can't tolerate that kind of play? Raidens would be a better option at this point. This is from Steve from Brentwood.
I mean, how many more people can just get fired? Like, snap your fingers and fire. Fire this person, fire that person. Look, Dennis Daly has been bad. But all you need to know.
Yet.
Yeah, exactly. All you need to know is that the other people can't beat him out. So you saying Raidens would definitely be the better option? I mean, I think I'm going to trust, you know, Keith Carter and Todd Downing and Mike Vrabel to evaluate.
To a point. Now, at some point, wouldn't you like to just see it?
Yeah.
Like, it can't be that much worse. It can't be. It's no way that it can be that much worse. I'm not saying it can't be worse. It can't be that much worse. It can't.
Yeah, so I mean,
I'd love to see it.
No, I mean, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that he wouldn't be, you know, I guess more of an option than, like, LaRaven Clark, based on what we've seen from LaRaven Clark. Because Raidens did, and whatever you think of the game against San Fran last year, it the earth didn't swallow him up, you know? He didn't, spontaneously combust and allow 12 sacks in that game, and he was lining up against Bosa at times. No, I think it's worth a shot. As far as cutting Daly, though, I mean, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
You're perilously thin already at that position, obviously.
Well, we've talked about it. Where would they be if they didn't have him? Who'd be out there? It'd be Raidens. It'd be LaRaven Clark. I mean, they're in a bad spot. But to that point, I would love to see Raidens get a shot over there, just for the standpoint of it can't be that much worse, in my opinion. But it's obvious to me also they're not going to do that. Like, they view him as a guard now. So it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And Keith Carter said that last week. Like, basically, he's an interior player. Glenn from Greenbrier, unpopular opinion, but Simmons is a very average player without Autry. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons has done a lot of things on his own that have been pretty spectacular. I think that you don't want to go too wild with that.
I think he's just injured.
Yeah, I think certainly he misses Autry, and they're a great tandem, but the ankle's not right. And yesterday, in fact, yesterday something upper happened to him too, by the way. He was, and maybe it was just a stinger, but, you know, he came off slowly. I mean, he's banged up. And again, this is just where yesterday's result is going to be such a strain on this team. And it's not anything that Vrabel's not going to indulge it or talk about it, but he knows, like, the crossroads, which was not met by this team. You know, he talked about crossroads against Philly,
went the long
right?
way.
Yeah. Jeff Simmons yesterday was like, well, I guess we're still there. But But the crossroads specifically of yesterday was win the game, and then you have a month to try to get healthy. Lose the game, and you're actually in a division race somehow with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
Which is where they are.
Yeah. Scott in Kansas City on the text line says, Vrabel bully ball is the major reason for our injuries. First, that brand of football doesn't win Super Bowls anymore. And second, physical teams, i.e. the Titans, the Ravens, the Niners, consistently have more injuries than other teams. It's no longer just bad luck. It's a trend. This from Scott on the text line.
See, it's. I mean, look, I understand the reasoning there to a point, but so like the Niners, for example. So the way they play is why their quarterbacks keep getting hurt. You know, like look at the specific injuries that we're talking about.
Right.
I mean, the only thing about Vrabel, quote unquote, Vrabel bully ball that is different is more running the football, right?
Yes.
So why does more running the football, I mean, first of all, the bigger injuries right now are on the defensive side of the ball. A guy has a plants wrong and blows his ACL, you know, in camp. Well, that has nothing to do with Vrabel bully ball. You go down the list. You know, someone has recurring hamstring injuries. You have a groin injury. You have concussions. I mean, concussions, I guess. But, like, the only thing that Vrabel bully ball should do is, I mean, I guess you could say receivers could be more hurt because they block more often. I don't think that there's a real connection there.
I mean, Treylon Burks is hurt right now because he took a headshot in the end zone.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with bully ball.
They threw a post to him, yeah. And he took an excessive shot. Look, the Titans' injury issues are worse than other teams, but you go around the league closely and you'll see plenty. It's a brutal sport. And as far as the brand of football not winning Super Bowls, you know, I mean, the Niners look like a team that can run it and play good defense and might get there, and they just keep throwing in the next quarterback and they're fine. So I don't know. I think it can give you a lot of success if you have a good offensive line.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it.
615-737-1025 coming up next. It's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight, taking on the St. Louis Blues on the road. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Preds tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. We'll get to that coming up next. We'll also get into the Eli Tolvanen situation that was put out there yesterday with him being on waivers. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. It is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. The Preds with a very busy week this week, beginning tonight as they take on the St. Louis Blues on the road. The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as follows. The listeners in first place with 6 correct answers. Joe Rex Road in second place with 5 correct answers. And Michelle Knezovic and myself tied at 4 correct answers apiece. So a very spicy competition in Preds Pick to Click, and we're going to see some movement, maybe, one way or the other this week with a lot of games this week. Preds playing 4 times this week. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Matt from Gallatin. Matt, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
All right, I'm going to go with Philip Forsberg.
Philip Forsberg, the selection. Matt, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Philip Forsberg, the selection by Matt. So Forsberg is off the board. I'm up next. And I got to tell you, Joe, the way they're playing right now, it's kind of hard.
Can you do no one? I mean, is that actually a viable pick?
I think it.
You can. Why don't you pick no one, Joe?
Yeah. Like if you pick no one and they get shut out, why can't you win?
I don't see why you couldn't. Maybe it's a strategy to go with.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Nino Niederreiter, and I think because of the way this game is going to be played, we know that St. Louis is a physical team. I think the closer you can be to the net, the better off you're going to be. And I like Nino's chances of getting there, so I'll go with Niederreiter. Forsberg, Niederreiter off the board. Joe Rexrode, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
No one. I'm going to go with no one. They're going to get shut out tonight.
Okay. We're going with no one with Joe Rexrode. Michelle Knezovic, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Can't believe Joe actually went with no one.
That's okay. Worth a shot.
You're right. It is. It is worth
a shot.
Plus,
I'm winning, and I, you know.
You're not winning.
I've been winning against you guys.
Okay.
All right.
Well, listen, Robbie and I are just 1 point behind. Okay, I'm going to go with Ryan Johansson tonight.
Ryan Johansson, the selection by Michelle Knezovic. So the selections and Preds pick to click. Forsberg from our listener, Matt. I am going with Nino Niederreiter. Joe Rexroad going with no one to score a goal tonight. And Michelle Knezovic selecting Ryan Johansson. Preds pick to click presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports.
They will score 9 seconds into the game.
Yes, they will score very quickly tonight. Speaking of the Nashville Predators, beyond what is just a very important week, and I said this yesterday on Twitter before the Titans game and before the move we're getting ready to discuss, it's a gigantic week for the Predators, and really a gigantic 3 weeks here. They got a lot of games this week against divisional opponents, and the one game that's not a divisional game this week is Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers coming in tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. And by the way, Ryan McDonagh is still out, and they lost Jeremy Lauzon and Alexander Carrier in the middle of the game the other day. So they could be in rough shape on the defense corps. We'll see what happens on that front. But then yesterday, Joe, Ellie Tolvanen placed on waivers by the Nashville Predators. Chris Johnston put this report out there yesterday, right around, I don't know, 12:30, 1 o'clock, somewhere in that neighborhood yesterday afternoon, that Ellie Tolvanen is on waivers. And obviously, you're talking about a former first-round pick in 2017 from the Predators, a guy that we've talked a whole lot about here on this show, and we talked about it last week. He was having trouble getting in the lineup, was a healthy scratch again on Saturday, and then yesterday the Predators have placed Ellie Tolvanen on waivers. So no trade for Ellie Tolvanen. He's not been in the lineup, and they've made the decision to put him on waivers where he's now exposed, and my guess is, Joe, that he's going to be picked up. I'd be very surprised if somebody didn't claim Ellie Tolvanen. So I think there's a good chance that the Ellie Tolvanen era in Nashville is over. What did you make of that move yesterday by the Preds?
Didn't see that one coming.
I did not either.
Ooh, what a week it's been for the local professional sporting teams. So, I mean, obviously you have Michael McCarron news in the player and safety health program.
Yep.
I say it right? Yes. And so we were talking about this during the break, but now all of a sudden you're talking about two forwards and two very different situations, and hopefully he can get healthy, but that's forward depth lost. Tolvanen, so they must have tried to deal him?
I can't imagine you put him on waivers without trying. If you did, that's a huge problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't make sense at all, right?
Yeah.
I'm also, I mean, I am a little surprised that, like, you couldn't get middling pick for him?
I'm not.
No, you're not?
No.
Okay.
Look, I think there's an idea around here, and this is one of those classic two things can be true at the same time things that we like to get into here. But I understand that you could certainly make an argument that Ellie Tolvanen has not been used properly here in Nashville, and a lot of people are going to make that argument. And I buy it to some degree. Now, I will say, he spent over half the year last year in the top six and did nothing with it.
Yeah.
And outside, and we've talked about this, outside of a 15-game sample size a couple of years ago where basically he got hot on the power play, there's nothing to suggest at this level or at the American Hockey League level, I might add, that he is anywhere close to being what they thought he would be as a first-round pick. So, like, honestly, I've watched the guy very closely for 5 years. He's got a really good shot. He can't get open to use it, and he's been underwhelming to me for a long time. We've talked about this a lot here on the show. Now, am I surprised that he was put on waivers? Yes, especially with the contract that he's got. It's not a whole lot of money, and it's through next season when he signed. So I think he's going to get picked up. My guess is this is probably the last we'll see of Ellie Tolvanen in a Nashville Predators jersey. But I think it's a case where two things can be true. Like, you can be unhappy with the usage or maybe lack thereof, or maybe even more specifically, I think it's fair to be unhappy with some of the guys who have been playing over Ellie Tolvanen, while also recognizing that maybe there's a chance he's just not very good, because that's kind of where I'm at with Ellie Tolvanen.
Yeah, I think that's all fair. Also, I'm going to call a shot right now. He's going to have a 20-goal season next year for somebody, for whoever picks him up. He's going to score 20 goals next season. Yeah. I mean, yep.
Future member of the Blackhawks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, but it's another obvious failure, a major, you know, you're going back a few years, but this, you know, he's one of those pieces who was supposed to continue success because you made a good pick and he eventually becomes a clear key part of this team as a top six forward, and instead he's on waivers now. And it's just, you know, in the big picture of things, you have so many mistakes you can make, and then you're going to see the effect on it.
Yep.
And by the way, I'm starting to really think this team isn't going to be in the playoffs this year. Am I overreacting right now?
They look like a bad hockey team right now. I mean, I'm watching the game Saturday, and they cannot get anything going in the offensive zone. And I know there's probably somebody screaming at the radio right now. I was like, well, great. Well, then play Ellie Tolvanen. Maybe he can help you get something going in the offensive zone. But I'm talking like the whole team right now. They can't get anything going in the offensive zone. And I mean, we're getting to be – we're almost 25 games in. It's a pretty big sample size right now of offense that has just been bad. They're a bad offensive hockey team. And now you've got injuries on defense with McDonough out. I don't know how long Lozon's going to be out. I know from my seat in section 102 the other night, it looked bad. Like, he got run into the boards, and he was holding on to the left side of his body immediately and went right down the tunnel. It didn't look like that was very much fun for Jeremy Lozon the other night. I honestly didn't see what happened to Carrier, so I don't know how long he's going to be out. But there's a chance you could go into this week, and you might have three AHL defensemen playing. Like, I see Jordan Gross out there. The guy's not an NHL player. He's just not. He's got some good offensive ability to him. Defensively, he's a problem. They could be in real trouble this week. And this is, I talked about it yesterday. They got a three-week stretch here of nothing but Western Conference opponents. A lot of them are divisional opponents. And you got a date with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl twice in the next week at home.
And that's been going well lately.
It's been going real well for him. This is a massive, massive week, a massive couple of weeks here for the Predators. And if they don't play better offensively than they played, I could see it going the wrong way pretty quickly.
And it is too bad, not making excuses, but they were playing really well, and they had a long stretch of not playing hockey. But, yeah, the pretty consistent thing here is, like, even when they started playing better, it's Saros having, you know, defensively playing a lot better, Saros playing better. They're not scoring.
Yeah.
They're not scoring. Aaron has a much better shot. Called shot to me. Call your shot time. Tolvanen gets picked up by the Wild, scores 30 goals. Then the Preds trade a first-round pick to get him back. That is a good called shot, Aaron.
So. We'll have more on the Ellie Tolvanen situation. A big week for the Nashville Predators coming up next with Max Herz. He'll join us next. We'll discuss all things Nashville Predators. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.